Sometimes that flickers and I can't tell if it's on or not. It's supposed to be a steady red light and it's flickering, but I think we're good. Okay, we are on lesson 2 in our book, which is on page 12. What is that in your hand? From Exodus 4. How would you like to teach the youth Sunday school class? The question could have been put more accurately as a blunt statement. We're desperate for somebody to teach the youth Sunday school class, and you're the only person available to do it. Sandy had never taught Sunday school before, but she had a good relationship with the high schoolers in our small church, so she said yes. The youth group turned out to include everybody in the church from roughly age 12 to 22. There was no curriculum suitable for such a wide age range, so Sandy turned to what she had: a pretty good knowledge of the Bible, lots of paper, and the church mimeograph machine. You all do know, yeah, I guess we're all old enough, we know what a mimeograph machine is. Okay. She was the church administrative assistant. For 2 years, she cranked out weekly lessons, each lesson based on the discussion of the week before. Those ink-blotched experimental lessons eventually became the basis of our decision to go into full-time writing. When a need arises, sometimes you have to use what you have on hand. When Moses met God at the burning bush, God told him to use what he had in his hand, his ordinary shepherd's staff. That staff went on to play a significant role in the Israelites' exodus from Egypt. Group discussion. Oh, okay, this could just take the whole lesson. When have you felt inadequate? Every day. That's exactly what I wrote down. Every day. Every day. A few of us wrote down every day. When have you felt inadequate? Personal reflection. When have you felt inadequate to do something you felt God was calling you to do? Anyone have any? Ellen?
He made me marry John Doe. I knew him 3 years as a fellow disciple in a small discipleship group. And in September, he asked me to marry him, and we got married in December. He asked me on a Monday, and on the Tuesday, I thought, what have you done? But it worked out.
It's been how many years?
36 and a half.
Oh, well, okay.
Well, I wouldn't say that.
I think when I first started leading Bible studies in the Sunday school class, I didn't really have the background at the time, and it was pretty scary.
Yep.
And I don't know how it all came about yet, but kind of like I just told somebody, I just kind of fell into it, it seemed like.
Yeah.
That's where my heart was. I wanted to be with ladies and minister to them. And so that's where the Lord put me.
Usually when something's over and I'm done doing it, then that's when Satan's like, well, why did you do that?
Yeah.
Why didn't you do that?
And yeah.
Questioning yourself.
Sure. Sure. Mm-hmm.
I was asked to take responsibility for the praise dinner last fall. I had never worked in the church kitchen.
Ah.
What am I doing?
And it was a wonderful dinner. You had people rally around you.
Absolutely.
But you had a willing heart and said, yes, Lord, and you probably got a blessing from it, too. Yeah. Yeah. He has asked us to be available and willing, and he'll equip us. Moses, child of Hebrew slaves in Egypt, was rescued from certain death and raised as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. As an adult, he tried to intervene for his people and had to flee into the Sinai desert, where for the next 40 years he worked as a shepherd. God met him in a flaming bush and commissioned him to return to Egypt and lead his people out of slavery and into the land of promise. Scan Exodus 3. Note especially God's summons to Moses in Exodus 3:10. Moses raised several objections, which the Lord answered in verses 11 to 15, and then they ask us to read Exodus 4. I think we're going to go ahead and read through Exodus 3, just because rather than trying to scan it, let's just go ahead. It's really not that long, 22 verses. So let's go ahead and read Exodus 3, and then we'll go into 4, 1 through 5. Gwendolyn, would you start?
Yes. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the far side of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up. Then the Lord saw that he had gone over to look. God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, here I am. Do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. Then he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God.
And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I have known their sorrows. And I am come down to deliver them out of the land of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of the land into a good land, and a large, and unto a large flowing with milk and honey, unto the place the Canaanites and the Hittites and all the rest of them. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppress them. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt.
But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Egyptians and the Israelites out of Egypt? And God said, I will be with you, and this will be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain. Moses said to God, suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, what is his name? Then what shall I tell them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you.
I also said to Moses, say to the Israelites, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, the name by which I am to be remembered from generation to generation. Go assemble the elders of Israel and say to them, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, appeared to me and said, I have watched over you and have seen what has been done to you in Egypt. I have promised to bring you up out of your misery in Egypt, the land of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites, a land flowing with milk and honey. The elders of Israel will listen to you. Then you and the elders are to go to the king of Egypt and say to him, the Lord, the God of the Hebrews, has met with us. Let us take a three-day journey into the desert to offer sacrifices to the Lord our God. But I know that the king of Egypt will not let you go unless a mighty hand compels him. So I will stretch out my hand and strike the Egyptians with all the wonders that I will perform among them. After that, he will let you go.
When you leave, they will give gifts to your people, each woman, as called Egyptian neighbor and the Egyptian women living in her house for gifts, silver, gold, and clothing. You should put those gifts on your children. When you leave Egypt in this way, you will take with you the riches of the Egyptian.
Okay, Lila, why don't you read Lila verses 1 through 5 then? Chapter 4, please.
Okay. Then Moses answered and said, what if they will not believe me or listen listen to what I say. For they may say, the Lord has not appeared to you. And the Lord said to him, what is it that's in your hand? And he said, a staff. Then he said, throw it on the ground. So he threw it on the ground, and it became a serpent. And Moses fled from it. But the Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand and grasp it by its tail. So he stretched out his hand and caught it, and it became a staff in his hand. 5-2.
Please.
And they may believe that the Lord of God, of their father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has appeared to you.
Okay, so in chapter 4, verse 1, what at this point was uppermost in Moses' mind? He was afraid that people weren't going to listen, right? He was afraid that people aren't going to believe him when he tells them that the Lord has told Moses to do this, or that the Lord had even appeared to Moses. So I thought, he's afraid of the people. I mean, he's afraid that they're not going to believe. And it was, to me, I thought, it's kind of a what if question. You know, what if they don't believe? So verse 2, how did the Lord unexpectedly change the focus of Moses' attention?
He said, what is in your hand?
Something he could see.
Exactly. It was something tangible, wasn't it? To me, you know, Moses... He took Moses' question of what if the people don't believe, to what is that in your hand? So Moses was surmising in his mind what the people's response would be, but God turned his attention to something tangible, to the staff that he was holding. So he turned that around to have him look at something that was physical, something tangible. So what's the logical connection between Moses' objection and God's question?
It isn't really connected, it seems like.
Okay.
God's going to do the work, not, it's the power of the Lord, not in Moses' strength.
Sure. God's strength, not Moses' strength.
It really wasn't a logical connection. That's what I meant. The Jews required a sign. In order to be convinced about him being God's chosen servant.
Mm-hmm.
So but what's the connection between a staff that turns into a snake to going before Pharaoh?
Right.
Don't you wonder as far as what Moses was thinking, like, what do you mean what's in my hand? God, it's a staff. Don't you wonder as far as he's like, you're not answering any of my questions. Yeah, that could be kind of...
Mm-hmm.
Was Moses too focused on the outcome, what was far out ahead, how is this going to come, and God wanted him to just take it one, just look one step, what's right here
mm-hmm.
with you.
Mm-hmm.
I always get too worried about what's going to, you know, okay, I'm going to do this, but all this what ifs out there that
yep.
are so far away
exactly.
that
yeah.
I don't pay attention to what's right here,
mm-hmm.
you know, what God wants me to see right in front of me.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I also had, he was holding a leadership symbol.
Mm-hmm.
The staff
mm-hmm.
was a leadership symbol. He just didn't see it that way.
Mm-hmm. And I thought, too, you know, with Moses having that what if, you know, we all do the what ifs. I mean, that's not a sure thing. We don't know what's ahead. But God is bringing it to, so that's an unknown, whereas God's bringing it to a sure thing. Okay, I know I've got this staff. So it's from the unknown to a known thing. He didn't know where it's going to lead him, but like Rose just said, and that kind of answers our next question to Moses at that moment, was the significance of his staff. Yeah. His staff was his source, so to speak, of leadership of the sheep. It was his way of guiding and directing the sheep. That's what his staff represented at that point.
It was a tool for a shepherd, a staff was a tool that
yep.
they used.
And how many years did it say that he can't remember if it said 40 years as a shepherd. Yeah. Yeah. So he had probably worn that staff down. His finger probably had worn down, so it just fit him perfectly. God ordered Moses to do a simple act of obedience, throw it on the ground. How was the result different from anything Moses might have expected to happen?
I put this down. Can you please throw it down?
Yeah, he probably thought, what, it's going to break apart or surely not turn into a serpent. I mean, I couldn't think of anything probably, farthest thing from his mind that the thing's going to turn into a serpent, right?
But he had the right reaction.
He did. Yeah. He did.
Yeah, I would too.
So when God told Moses to pick up the snake by the tail, what probably went through Moses' mind?
It'll bite me.
I won't do.
Well, they say the tail. They say the tail is the worst place to pick it up. That's the most dangerous place to pick it up by the tail because it can just snap around and to bite you. So that's the most dangerous place. But like one commentator mentioned but Moses still obeyed even when it was difficult to do. He didn't say, "No, let me pick it up by the head," or "Do I really have to pick it up?" Or come up with all kinds of excuses. Yeah. What's that?
Is it poisonous?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But he obeyed, didn't he? Even though when it was difficult, he obeyed.
There's nothing more terrifying for me than a snake. We had one in our house one time. We lived out on the farm, and it came up from the basement, and I saw it come in, and it went into the front room, and I called Doug. He was at work in Carlock at the time, and he came out with these big, long plier things, and I said, "Don't let it go in the closet," and it went in the closet. But he got it out. But I'm standing clear down at the other end of the front room on the couch, absolutely scared to death. And my youngest son comes downstairs wearing his dad's cowboy boots. So it was quite the scene, but we got it out of the house at least. But,
Speaking of that, my mom found a couple of snakes in the garage.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no fun.
But if he had just seen God turn his staff into this snake, do you think he at least had the thought of, okay, something is going on here? Maybe this is, you know, that
it showed his sovereign power, and it wasn't a magic trick. It was God's power.
Mm-hmm. But I mean, I'm wondering if he felt like, okay, I can pick this up, as opposed to just picking up any other random thing.
Of course.
He had seen it.
The burning bush that wasn't consumed.
Yeah.
He just experienced that.
Yeah.
So,
Not that I would still be afraid of it. But
of
still,
yeah,
you know,
right.
You just
of course.
If,
yeah.
You know, he kind of had some.
Yep. Yep. So what was the purpose of the demonstration with the staff? Talked about
God works.
Seeing how God works, exactly. Yep. And verse 5 tells us, so that the people would believe that God had indeed appeared to Moses, giving Moses authority, really, in the eyes of the people. So that they would know, that children of Israel would know that the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob was with them, and that God had not forsaken them. So when have you seen the Lord use ordinary objects or circumstances to do something remarkable, perhaps even miraculous?
I thought that he inspired me to write.
Inspired you to write? Mm-hmm. Very good.
We have real good friends that are their pastor and his wife, and they've been looking for a house, and they always had real simple houses, and they bought a house in Germantown Hills, in a very, very nice neighborhood. And it was half of what they would have had to pay because the house was on the market for a long time. And we went to visit and we had supper, and that was my first thought when I thought they were babysitting this house, you know, house sitters, because it was a very nice house. And as soon as they said, "No, this is our house," that was my first thought. What has God did this?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I've seen some healing when Jason was 10 and in the hospital for 6.5 weeks and didn't know what was going on. He had biopsy on his leg and everything. And he was just still in a lot of pain. And we'd been giving him Tylenol for pain, and we ran out. So I gave him baby aspirin one night. He came down those stairs the next morning, swinging his leg. Look, Mom. He had no pain.
Wow.
And today he's still on aspirin, and Lexi and Dakota are too. Mm-hmm. They all have the same bone issue. And Dave, when he was in the hospital for 8.5 weeks, we church held a day of prayer and fasting for him. And the next day he started getting better.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep. Okay. Yep.
I think sometimes too, God can use things that don't seem to be a blessing as a blessing. I remember Dave tells about how his dad, I think it was on Thanksgiving Day, he was doing something with the hitch on the back of the truck and it started backing up and he was pinned between the garage and the truck. Mm-hmm. And so he ended up having to go to the hospital. Well, through that, they found out that he had an aneurysm in his lung. It was completely unrelated.
Yep.
That they would have never found as far as my I can't share. But the same things happen at the hospital, too, where, just random things they came in.
Yes.
That wasn't the problem. They found this big problem they would have never found out.
Yes.
So even, like, God can use even just bad things for his own glory. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, I'm going to tell a quick story, and I might have told this story before when it talked about an object, and it says to do something remarkable or miraculous. This is just something tiny, but it's something that God taught me, and I go back to this. I don't know if I told you about my jacket story, my button story. I wore this jacket to an outing one time, to another church outing, actually. I came home, and one of my buttons was gone. Now, you can tell by this, if I was missing one button, it wouldn't be quite so cute, right? And this button is, it'd be tough to go to Walmart and find this specific button. So it's like, do I need to take all the other buttons off? Do I need to bring it to Ellen and have her find? Okay, you just. I didn't know you. This was years ago. So this was a few years ago. You're going to ruin my story, Ellen. So anyway, so I'm sitting there, do I need to go buy 4 new buttons? Do I da-da-da-da? So I can't tell you the time frame. It was 24 hours, 48 hours later. It was like the Spirit of God just told me, go out to the drain spout. Go out to your drain spout. What? Drain spout. Mm-hmm. So do you remember the story?
Oh, your house?
My drain spout outside of my house, by the corner of the house. So then I started retracing in my mind, why am I supposed to go out to the drain spout? Oh, yeah. Before I went to this outing, I had this jacket on, and I noticed that the drain spout had been pulled so that the lawn could get mowed. So I thought, I'm just going to go put the drain spout back on. So I had this jacket on when I did that. So it's like, okay, I'm supposed to go out to the, okay, I'll go out to the drain spout. So I'm like, maybe that button's out there. So I start feeling through the grass, you know, I'm like, oh, this is crazy. This is just nuts. And the sun all of a sudden shone down, and the button was upside down, so it's really gold, and there was that button. Yeah. Now, that's not a miracle by any stretch of the imagination, but you know what that did for me? It just showed me God's love and faithfulness to me. The God of the sovereign God of the universe cared about a button. Tiny little details, but he also cared, and it just showed, you know, when I call it my faithfulness buttons, because just God showed me his faithfulness through that he even cares about little simple things like that. So when they talked about an object, that was something that came to my mind. So
did you sew it back on?
I did.
Okay.
I'm able to do that. Yes. I can sew a button that. So okay, identify some ordinary everyday staffs you have in your hand. Some possibilities could be material possessions, financial resources, schedule flexibility, talents and skills, space, home or yard, vehicles, friends or family, church networks, special sensitivities, or latent interests. Mm-hmm. Working on your iPad?
Yeah, but I don't need a working.
Oh, on needleworking? Oh.
And make like bookmarks.
Oh.
Bookmarks, coasters.
Coasters and bookmarks, okay?
Yeah, oh, I can put any drink on it, any photo.
Sure.
Like that, I make them.
Very good. Yeah.
I find that working in my yard, a lot of times people will stop and say something about it, but it gives me the opportunity to talk to them.
Sure.
Yeah. And I've met this one lady, and her husband, she lives a couple blocks away, but her husband had been a pastor, and he had passed away. Just to be able to talk to her and,
Sure. Yeah.
And schedule and flexibility kind of hits me, because when somebody asks me something that they want me to do soon, I just tighten up. I just think, no, I have plans, you know, or something, or I don't want to do it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's something that I have naturally. I have to watch that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, at work, a lot of times people come up and they're teary-eyed. So do I ask, or do I just have a good day, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So a few times I have, and they just break down.
Mm-hmm.
So right there in the pharmacy, I was with them. And I'm thinking afterwards, I thought, should I have even done that? I'm sure Hopedale doesn't mind you doing that, but I wonder if other people see it and want to react and do, you know? But I don't care. But they always thank me, and they just really seem like it
sure.
gives them a little peace.
Uh-huh. Sure.
But I always hesitate for a minute because I'm thinking, what? I don't even want to even say, you know. But the Lord just comes out. So.
He has control. Ask him for control of your tongue.
Yes.
Give you the words, yeah. For me, I love to bake and love to cook. And recently I've been able to meet needs of neighbors that are ill and lonely and... kind of to what Carol said about the time thing, because that's the next one, which is the hardest one to release of your staffs and mine. It's my time. But then I think it's not my time. And I have to look at it that way, that it's the Lord's time. And what?
I bought my cane.
Oh, your cane. So, but it's, you know, just learning how to use the things that God has given you and your time, your talents, your treasure, and asking him to be able to use them for his glory, because we all have things that he's given us that he wants us to be willing to use for his purposes.
When it listed vehicles there, when it's been a few years now that we moved our family from a minivan to a Suburban or a Yukon, we've had both over the years, and we intentionally found one that can hold 8 for extra people. But we knew that when you have a bigger vehicle, you know, people have needs for bigger vehicles. Mm-hmm. And so we intentionally told ourselves that we always wanted to be willing.
Mm-hmm.
If somebody asked, you know, that we would say, yeah, sure, you can use it.
Mm-hmm.
And so, so it was an intentional decision. And you know, sometimes it's hard to just say, sure, here, take my vehicle, you know, but, you know, it is, it's, you know, not every, and, you know, it can pull things and it has lots of space in it and stuff. So that's something that we tried to be very intentional with. And, you know, that if people need it for hauling extra people, I mean, the church has used it to take almost every youth trip they go on, they take it. And,
sure.
And different things. And so, and then since I'm home and don't have to work every day, we've been able to give it to people, you know, for extra vehicles and stuff. Because, yeah. So.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
Anyone else have anything they want to share on that? Or which is the one that would be hardest for you to throw down and release control over? You can be thinking on that and asking the Lord what it is that he's put in your hand for his purposes. We know now what a significant part Moses' staff played in the Exodus and in the wilderness journey, but at this point the Lord did not reveal any of that to Moses. He only promised that the Israelites, not even the Egyptians yet, would believe that the Lord had really appeared to Moses. Moses was still very much in the dark about where all this was going, but he did throw down the staff and pick up the snake by the tail. This week, what will you figuratively throw down and let God take control of? And you think about that with the story of Moses. I mean, here he had no idea that staff was going to part the Red Sea. I mean, obviously the staff didn't, but it would be used in that. Or that would strike a rock and water would come out. Or it would be raised over a battle until Israel won. I mean, God didn't show him all of that. It's just like he was just obedient in the simple thing of throwing that staff down, God bringing it to his attention. What is that in your hand? God's going to use it for mighty things. And so we have to look into our own life. What has God put at our disposal, be it our time, talent, treasure, to be used for his glory, for his honor, and just be intentional with doing that and not clinging to things on this earth that we think are ours. It's not.
Shoes.
Your shoes.
David Jeremiah said, God only needs us to be his vessel. It's not what you know, but who you know. It's not who you are that matters, it's who God is. It's not our ability that counts, but God's. God says, let me do it through you. It is enough to know God. When we say, send someone else, God says, this is not a request.
I thought it was interesting, too, that when you read back and you see Moses in Egypt, when he struck that Egyptian, and then the next day, it was stated like, the people don't realize that I'm here to help them, or whatever. That I, mm-hmm. you know, he felt like he had a mission where he was in a position where he could save them.
Mm-hmm.
40 years later, you see him out in the desert, where he was to stay.
Yes. Yes. Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Yep. Just, yep. Yeah. That's right. Yes. 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 Yep. Yep. Yep.
This is not, you know, this is my plan. So kind of like quit getting in the way. Maybe a little bit.
Yeah.
I think I probably gets in the way and the Lord's like, well, if you just swallow it all up, I'd show you where I'm going here.
Yeah. Yeah.
We missed it.
We do. We can easily miss it. So, yeah. Well, let's close in prayer. Again, Lord, we just thank you for your word and just thank you for Moses and just the example that he is and his obedience of you, Father, and just help us to see the things that you have given to us so graciously and that we would just be willing. We are stewards of everything that you've given to us, be it our time, our talents, and our treasure, Father, and we are to steward those things well and help us not to miss out on the blessing of serving you by serving others, and just help us to be vessels that are open to just being women that want to serve you wholeheartedly. Just thank you for your love again. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I was there for over an hour, Gwendolyn.
With him or just her?
He was asleep most of the time. Yeah, so it's basically her. Yeah, okay. 10 minutes. Oh, boy. Okay.